We are living in unprecedented and uncertain times. Every day we receive news that is altering the way that we live our lives today and threatening our way of life for our futures. While worldwide pandemics are not new, what is unprecedented in our time is the speed at which this COVID-19 coronavirus has impacted our world and our way of life. It's a scenario that we expect to watch on screens or read in novels, but it's one that seems so unreal as we're living our lives today. I don't know about you, but when I turn on the TV and watch the news, it just seems like I'm watching a movie or something like that. It just seems surreal, but yet it is our reality. These times have brought fear, worry, and panic to much of the world, but I believe that as the followers of Jesus, we ought to continue to walk in faith rather than fear, wisdom rather than worry, and peace rather than panic. And this morning, my hope this morning through this message is to remind each of you of the truth, of the truth that can help you ensure that you face this pandemic that we're going through with wisdom, faith, and peace. And so this morning's message is entitled, Hope is Alive Because of God's Promises. The next week we're going to see Hope is Alive Because of God's Power, and then we'll close with two messages, Hope is Alive Because of God's Plan. All right, would you join me in prayer as we just lift this up to the Lord? Father, we thank you yet again for the opportunity that we have today to gather together in your name. We thank you, Lord, for the technology that we have that allows us to gather in some regard online. And I pray, Lord, for everybody that is a part of this community, this fellowship of believers, Lord, that we would in this time grow stronger in our faith, that we would reevaluate, Lord, the way that we have been living, and that it would drive us closer to you. And Father, that you would challenge us and grow us, bring maturity, Lord, where there's immaturity, strength, where there's weakness through these times, through these trials, Lord, that are testing our faith. I pray that you would refine us. And Lord, we just want to submit now our mind and our heart to you. And we ask, Lord, that as we submit ourselves to you, that you would bring about in our minds and in our hearts that peace that would guard us, that peace that would be just something that despite what's going on, Lord, that we would have peace in the midst of the storm. We love you, God. I thank you for everybody who is there listening. I pray you'd bless them, Lord, that as they're in their homes, as they're with their children, Lord, that it would be a blessed time for them. And that they would see, Lord, that we as a body, we're not constrained to these walls. We are the living Church of God. And I pray, Lord, that that would be something that would become just such a reality as we understand, Lord, what it means to be your body here in this place. We love you, God. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's a very simple message this morning. Perhaps it's a little too simple, being that we live in some complicated times, but I've learned that sometimes it's better to remember the simple things in complicated times. And so the first point that I have this morning is that in uncertain times, remember that God makes promises. Remember that God makes promises. In these kinds of times, it's easy to allow our minds to be consumed with news and with media and with conspiracy. I know some of you out there, some of you, your mind, I've been in New Zealand long enough to know that this happens. News and media from all different sources and conspiracies of why this is happening. It's easy to let our minds become consumed by that, but we would be much better off at this time if we filled our minds with the promises of God, if we allowed Him to wash us in the water of His Word. The Bible is filled with promises that God has made to individuals. Some he has made to nations, others are more general to the entire population, many to those who are his children. Walking in hope during these times requires us to trust in the promises of God for us, to know his promises and to trust in them. And so I wanted to remind you just of a few of those promises this morning. Certainly, this is not even the tip of the iceberg, but I hope that these promises can help to give us hope in these times. The first thing that I wanted to mention is one of the promises of God is that he promises peace. Did you know that? He promises peace. Read with me in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." There we go. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and get this, and the God of peace will be with you." See, we often read the first part of that verse, and the idea that the peace of God is going to guard our hearts and minds as we give thanks to God and submit our requests to him in prayer. But he also says there that as we consider these things that are pure and true and noble, and we might even say when we consider the promises of God, the God of peace will be with you. And it's easy in these times to embrace the panic. It's easy to embrace the panic that uncertainty can bring. When you go into the supermarket and all the toilet paper's gone, it's easy to embrace the panic. You know, oh no, what am I going to do now? There's some helpful tips online just so that you know. But our answer to panic is prayer. And God's promise through prayer is peace. Our answer to panic is prayer. And God's promise through prayer is his peace. And it's so important to be reminded of that. Regardless of what is happening today or what we imagine may happen tomorrow, because that's the real thing, isn't it? What's going to happen with my job and with my finances and with my house and with all sorts of things? What's going to happen tomorrow brings a lot of anxiety. Don't allow your hearts and minds to descend into fear, panic, or worry. We ought to pray and give thanks. Consider the good things that God has done and promised in his word and trust in those promises for God to bring his peace to our heart and minds today and tomorrow. All right? Another thing that I think the Lord promises in his word is not only does he promise peace, but he promises provision. Because that is one of the major concerns for many people right now. It's not so much that we're concerned about the virus itself. Some may be. And I'm glad that some of you who are concerned stay home. I'm glad that some of you know I think Joe said seasoned saints. What a great way to put it. Some of the more seasoned saints stayed home. But listen, God promises provision. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Read that with me. "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Just one thing I want to say here, and obviously we could go into much more detail in these promises, but one thing I want to say is Jesus is not telling his followers they don't need to work. He's telling them that they don't need to worry. That's very important. God's promise to provide is connected to our willingness to pursue his kingdom above everything else. It's all about priorities. When we prioritize his kingdom, we can rest in his provision. And what does that look like? Well, prioritizing his kingdom does not mean ignoring your responsibilities. It means rather trusting in him, leaning upon him, and recognizing him in managing, recognizing him as you manage all of those responsibilities. Worry makes sense to a naturally minded person, but it does not make sense to one who is seeking first the kingdom of God. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." I think that that goes right along with what Jesus is teaching us here, to seek first the kingdom of God, acknowledging him in all of our ways and trusting him with all of our heart without leaning to our own understanding. Because when we do that, we will fall into anxiety, because the reality is I don't understand what's going on. And I don't need to. I just need to trust and rest in the promises of God. For many of us, anxiety over temporary things is a very big problem. In our current circumstances, what concerns consume your thoughts? As we seek first the kingdom of God, we should find ourselves, and we will find ourselves, increasingly concerned over the spiritual rather than the natural. Increasingly concerned over the eternal instead of the temporary. And my hope is that this would be a time where we, as the people of God, would not only reflect on the promises of God, but also begin to reevaluate and reprioritize our lives, ensuring that we are pursuing the kingdom of God above everything else, and then resting in his promise to provide not everything that we want, but everything that he says that we need. He promises protection. There are a lot of Christians who make the mistake, who make mistakes of God's promises of protection that he promises in the Old Testament to the individuals or to the nation of Israel, and they apply that to themselves today. And listen, these promises can present to us some of the differing aspects of God's character and God's covenant with Israel. But we find that for us as believers today in the New Testament, that persecution and tribulation are promised much more clearly than physical protection to those who follow Jesus. You see, the reality is this. If we live, and as long as we do live in this flesh, we will continue to experience problems. Financial problems, sickness, deterioration of our bodies. We age, we get older because sin has affected the flesh that you and I are living in today, our natural bodies. God's promise of protection for you and for me has to do more with what is spiritual and eternal protection than what is temporal or physical protection. Again, going back to what we just saw, as we seek first the kingdom of God, these become the concerns that we really have. Our concerns are more focused on what is eternal and what is spiritual than what is carnal and what is temporal. John chapter 16, verse 33, listen to what this says. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." Read what he says before that, and he's talking about how they're going to struggle and suffer and how he's leaving them. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12 says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution." And yeah, this isn't persecution, but certainly we can see those things on the horizon. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Notice the value system that Paul teaches here, that your faith is much more precious than any of these, this wealth that the world could offer you. Gold perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. Faith brings this joy that's inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I think that's an important promise to keep in mind as we approach, you know, this seems like this impending, you know, recession or whatever it is. I think that has a lot of people so scared. Listen, it's okay to be tested by temporary trials, because what's more important than those things is the genuineness of your faith that God is testing. Where are you putting your faith? It may be that God delivers some of us from the virus. I hope and I pray that nobody contracts this virus. That's my prayer. Others he may deliver through the virus. Maybe you'll catch it and God will deliver you through the midst of that. Some, if we're being realist, I don't want to be a pessimist, but if I want to be a realist, some may die from the virus. Okay, those are the realities of what we're going through today. Death is a reality for all of us. The hope that we have in the protection of our Lord is hope that is eternal hope, which is in reality a much greater promise than temporary physical protection. So that when we go through problems and trials and sickness and eventually death, even that has been conquered. Hope is alive in Jesus Christ. John chapter 10, verse 27. This is the promise I'm talking about. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, he says there in verse 30. God will hold on to you. Jesus says, I'm going to hold on to you. Nobody will take you out of my hands. We're protected. And I think we need to understand that eternally and through our salvation is protected in the hands of Christ. And I'll tell you what, if there is anything that I would be afraid of losing, it would be that. But we won't. He holds on to us by his hand. And the second major point is that in uncertain times, remember not only that God makes his promises, but that God keeps his promises. It's one thing to make them. It's another thing to keep them. And God keeps his promises because God is truthful. We sang a song this morning, there is nothing that God can't do, and I'll have to apologize to you because in some regards that song was not accurate. It was not true. Sorry, Vicky. Unfortunately, that song is not true because the author of Hebrews tells us something that God can't do, and he says God cannot lie. I'm not saying we shouldn't do that song, by the way. In the Old Testament, we have an example of a promise given to an individual that impacted the world, to Abraham. In it, we gain an important understanding of God's character. Read with me in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. It says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them and an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That two immutable things, absolute, sure, unchangeable things, which is, it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And you're saying, what are you talking about? Read it, study it, you got time. But the important thing that I'm trying to get across is this idea that we have a hope in Christ Jesus, a hope through God the Father, and we have this hope that is an anchor for our soul because God cannot lie. He keeps his promises. Truth is becoming more and more difficult to come by these days. From the thinking in our world that says there is no truth, that it's all subjective, to the media outlets that are more concerned with the interest of the story than the integrity of the story, and we're inundated by misleading facts and by complete falsehoods and lies by dishonest people, it's hard to find truth. Sometimes you might be tempted to think it doesn't exist, but God keeps his promises. God is truth. He's not like a man that he should lie. And how refreshing it is to know that what God promised, he will bring to pass. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 continues with this idea of our hope. He says, "Let us hold fast our confession of hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." This brings us to the next point. God keeps his promises because he's faithful to do so. During one of the darkest times in the history of Israel, during the fall of Jerusalem to Babylon, for more than 40 years, the prophet Jeremiah called upon Judah to repent. He warned them constantly of God's displeasure and impending wrath should they continue in their sin. After they ignored Jeremiah's continual pleas and prophecies, the book of Lamentations is thought to be written by the prophet Jeremiah as he laments over a city that he loved, that had fallen, gone into exile to Babylon. A city that he loved that had fallen because of their sin. This brings up other promises that we ought to keep in mind. God promises wrath for sin, but salvation in Jesus Christ. Not a major point, I just thought that I would say it. And here's the promise, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, for you and me, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should be together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. What we're going through right now is something that Jesus said would happen. It's not the end, but remember, God has not appointed us to experience his wrath. We've been delivered from that, saved from it through Jesus Christ. But we may experience all manner of difficulties in these bodies of flesh, in this world that lies under the sway of the wicked one, but we can rest in assurance that we have been forever saved from the wrath of Almighty God. Nonetheless, what Jeremiah writes in Lamentations, or it's believed to have been written by Jeremiah, during this dark, read the book of Lamentations. It's a little depressing. If you think you're depressed, read Lamentations. Things looked much worse in Jerusalem at this time, trust me. Much worse. And Jeremiah had warned them faithfully for 40 years, and in the middle of this book, he says this. He says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope." How do you have hope in dark times? This, Jeremiah says, this is what I bring up in my mind. This is what I remember. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. To me, this stands out as one of the most beautiful scriptures in all of the Old Testament because of the context that you find this wonderful example and demonstration and confession of hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God is faithful. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11, Paul says, "This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we're faithful, if we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." And so as we turn our minds toward the promises of God, we ought to see that there are some promises that require our faithfulness. Consider with me some of the things that we've just looked at. Peace of heart and mind, Paul attaches to prayer. Overcoming anxiety concerning our physical provision, he attacks to our faithfulness in a heavenly pursuit. When it comes to God's most precious promises for us, we need to have faith to rest in his faithfulness. God is faithful. He will do what he has promised. He keeps his promises. Amen? Can I hear an amen online? John, thank you. Nataka, I'm sure you did it too. God keeps his promises finally because he is able to. As we come to a close, we ought to be reminded that while the world seems to be spiraling out of control, many of the things happening are certainly beyond our control, God remains firmly in control of this world. Things are not, as some people say, as Amir Sarfati says, things are not falling apart, things are falling into place. And how true that is. The promises of God are many, and we've just considered really a couple this morning. But unlike us, every promise made by God, he is able to keep because he's powerful. He is the Almighty God. And sometimes we are challenged by this and we think, oh, I wonder if this is, you know, if God can do. No, he will. He can. He's able. He's powerful. We can make promises that we fail to keep because we don't have the power to keep them. God doesn't have that problem. Romans chapter 4 presents to us an example of faith again through the life of Abraham. Though God's promise appeared impossible to fulfill because of his age, listen to what Romans 4 tells us. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness, fully persuaded that God is able to keep what he's promised. And so when we consider God's prophecies about his return, about the return of Christ, about our salvation, about the wrath that he is going to pour out on this world, it should stir us up to live lives that are not only focused heavenward, but also looking to our world that is in such pain and agony, and looking to be God's arms, God's hands to those around us. Abraham continued to trust in the Lord's promise in spite of the impossible circumstances because he was convinced of the Lord's power. He trusted God's promise because he knew God's power. This faith was accounted to him for righteousness, and Paul's purpose here was to reveal to us the kind of faith that we ought to have, that we ought to place in the promise of Jesus for our salvation. There are times when we're just like, I don't know what God's going to do, but I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him through everything. I'm going to trust him because he promises things. And because he makes these promises, and he's able, and he's faithful, and he's good, and he's loving, and he's promised these things to me as his child. Living in such times leaves many people with the sense that they have lost control, and that's what brings fear and anxiety to people. I learned a long time ago, I don't have control. I learned a long time ago that you yield control over to God every morning. God, I'm submitting my life to you. You're in control. Lead me. Show me what you have for me. For believers, this is an opportunity to be reminded of the one who is actually sovereign over our lives and to walk with peace in God's promises and confident in God's power and everything that belongs to us in Christ Jesus. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He's given to us every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is ours in Christ Jesus. So many precious promises that are ours. And I would encourage you that rather than absorb all of the media and all of the news, listen, understand what's going on. That's fine. But rather than give yourself to conspiracies, give yourself to God's promises. Give yourself to God's word. And let that just absorb that. Vicky, can you come? Listen, we're not home yet. And we are here for such a time as this. And in unprecedented times, I pray that we would shine in unprecedented ways. And yes, maybe next week we won't be here. And I'll miss you guys. You'll be at home. There will be people in your life that maybe you can gather together with and worship with and fellowship with. Brothers and sisters, again, keep in touch. Your neighbors, show them love, even if they don't like you. And even if you don't like them, reach out. Show the love of Christ, because I guarantee you that at this time, God is giving us an opportunity like we've never known before, and like we may never know again. Because I don't know how short time is. I don't know how long we have. And so let's be about the Father's work. Let's seek first the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. We're going to have, I'm just going to close with prayer. Doug is going to come up after this next song. He's going to pray again. We'll have another song after that, and then we'll close. Father, we thank you that we can rely upon you. You are a God who has made promises, Lord, that no one else could make, that no one else could keep, but you are a God that is powerful, that is faithful. You're a God that is good. And we thank you this morning that we can trust in your promises, that we can turn to your word, and that we can see, Lord, the beginning from the end, and we can know, maybe not the specific thing that's going to happen to us tomorrow, but we can know the end and what you plan for this world, and that you will come and bring everything, Lord, to come to pass as you desire. We thank you that this that has caught us off guard, that has caught us by surprise, was not a surprise to you. And because of that, Lord, we can face what's happening right now with great hope and assurance, with peace of heart and peace of mind, knowing that you know our needs. So God, help us to be about your work. God, we see how in this time, how, God, just sin is rampant. Even with the passing of this terrible abortion bill in this nation, Lord, we see that sin is just rampant and it's dark. And I pray, God, that you would enable your church, fill your church with your spirit to be your light and your witnesses in this world. God, for such a time that we're living in, I thank you, Lord, for your body. And now, Lord, I pray that we would learn what it means to be your body in a context, Lord, where we're almost forced to reach out in new ways to one another and to this world. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name.